All right, I'm really excited to be here today with Alyssa Weaver Cox. How are you, Alyssa?
I'm doing really great, Brian. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. I should have checked that before in our time beforehand. It is Alyssa, correct?
It is Elissa. It gets all sorts of variations from Alyssa to Alicia to Hey You. Most of my colleagues at this point just have settled for E because it's just a lot.
There you go. I love it. I love it. So Elissa is the current deputy city manager of the city of Rancho Cucamonga. I love saying that. You know, as a North Carolina boy, you know, when you see Rancho Cucamonga, you're a little bit like, ooh, I'm not sure if I can say that or not. Did I get that one right too?
You absolutely did. It you know, hails back to God knows what, but my husband loves telling the story that, you know, he heard way out in Rancho Cucamonga on Bugs Bunny all the time. He's from Kansas, and so when he drove to California the first time, drove to Rancho Cucamonga and was like, it's a real place. Yeah. It actually exists.
You know, thank you so much for connecting it with me. I had no idea. I knew I had heard it as a kid growing up, and I couldn't think what. It was Bugs Bunny. It was exactly it. I love it. That is so great. So Elissa is a 2003 graduate of Cal Poly and our program, and I'm really excited to hear all about your experience and getting to that point. But I want to go back in time a little bit, if you're okay with it. And I want to get the I talked to you. We want our listeners to connect with you and to know where you're from and what you're like growing up and that sort of thing. So where are you from?
I'm a hometown girl. I grew up, first 7 years of my life, we moved up and down the state of California, but when I was seven, we settled into a small town in LA County. It's nestled up against the mountains called Sierra Madre.
Yeah.
Ironically, not ironically at all, probably very purposefully, I still live here today, although my whole family has moved to Texas. It's about 3 square miles. It's got no stoplights. And if you know, it's got the one main downtown drag and looks like something popped out of the East Coast, then you have no idea you're in LA when you're walking through the town here. So really cute, awesome place. Great place to grow up and great place to live as an adult too.
Very cool. Very cool. So your family all moved to Texas, but what took them to Texas, if you don't mind me asking?
My dad was working for AT&T, and they, he started with them soon after he graduated from Cal Poly. He spent 30 some odd years there before he retired when it was all the ma and pa Bells. I grew up knowing my dad worked for Pacific Bell, SBC, and eventually by the time he retired, it was AT&T. They were headquartered in Texas, and at some point the job said, let's go to Texas, and so they did.
Got you.
And I was a bad child that never followed. I was in college at the time when they left, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense at that point for me to move. So
of course. What about your mom? What did your mom do when you were growing up?
My mom stayed home and took care of us. So I come from a long line of really awesome women who have been able to stay home, raise their children.
And we have that in common.
Yeah, she was able to, drive us to all our swim meets and theater practices and dance classes and Girl Scouts and, whatever other adventure my sisters and brothers and I got into. She was our rock and our transportation.
Yeah, absolutely. You probably share this with me that I, with my mom as a stay-at-home mom, I look back and now as a working father, I think to myself like, oh my, that was like a full-time job. I don't know how she did that,
Yeah, definitely not easy. Huge props out there to all of the mamas and the papas that are able to stay home and dedicate their time to their kids.
Yeah.
Huge blessing. Really nice thing to get.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me, you said brothers and sisters. How many brothers, how many sisters?
I got one sister, one brother. I'm the oldest. My sister is now in Florida. She just went through her fourth pregnancy and has 5 children. Number four ended up being twins, and they were born a few weeks ago. I have not yet seen their cute little baby squishy faces yet. But yeah, so five nieces and nephews over there. And then my brother lives outside of Houston, and he has three little ones there. So we really do get to enjoy our time flying across the country, checking on all the nieces and nephews. My husband has, his brother has a niece and a nephew in Florida as well. So we're racking up those Southwest credits, visiting everybody.
I bet you are getting lots of miles for sure. So tell me, Alyssa, what were you like? What were you like growing up? What were you into? What was your identity? That sort of thing.
Totally the stereotypical oldest child, you know, bossing everybody around, planning everything out for everyone, telling them where to stand and how to play. And, you know, that early planner in me definitely came out right away. You know, I was big on swim team, joined swim team when I was young, swam up until college. And then in college, I started coaching. I was very involved with scouting, got my gold award as a Girl Scout. At the time, and I think it still exists, there was a co-ed portion of the Boy Scouts called Explorer Scouts. We were high adventure, so we did a lot of camping, hiking. We went to Europe for 3 weeks and spent 2 weeks of those camping throughout England. So that was remarkable. Great experience to have as a kid.
Wow.
Teenager, I guess. But I was always an old soul. So, I mean, from the day I came out, it just definitely, my friends were always 5, 10, 15 years older than me. I started working when I was 14 just because I loved it and I wanted to. I was working at the local pool.
Wow. Okay. And well, that's a good segue. What, you know, every kid has a dream job. What was your dream job? What did you think you were going to grow up to be?
I thought I was going to grow up and be a mom. I thought I was to go to college, get my MRS, get married, you know, in July after I graduated and pop out a few children and get a Suburban and drive them all around. I really, going into college, it was, you know, I don't think I realized the gift of going to college at the time. It was just the next thing that you did.
And then I
actually went to college and I started in the rec program and fell in love with the industry, the experiences, the everything. And next thing I knew, you know, I'm closer to 40 than I am 20. I have a dog and to the children, and I am the number two in an organization that, you know, is a multi-million dollars and serving hundreds, almost 200,000 people. So,
Yeah, that's really wild. Well, I can't wait to talk all about that, but I want to go back to the college years for a little bit, if you don't mind. So your dad was a Cal Poly alum. So yeah. I know how you had a connection to Cal Poly, but how did you hear about the major?
Well, my mom also went to Cal Poly. That's where they met.
Oh, awesome. Very cool.
And when it was time to look at colleges, I didn't want to look at Cal Poly because that's where my parents went. So why would I possibly want to go there?
Of course.
But my parents, in their ultimate wisdom, as we were on the California college tour, said, you know, let's just go on the tour. Like, check it out. You don't have to go there, but we just want you to, you know, we want to show you where we went to college.
Exactly.
And so we were on our tour, and one of the other things that my parents had very wisely said that I needed to know what I wanted to study before I picked where I was going to go. Otherwise, I could go to the JC, I could figure things out there, and then, you know, then look at, you know, a four-year school. And so we were starting the tour at Cal Poly, and our rep said, you know, my name's such and such, and I'm a recreation administration major. And I turned around and I looked at my parents and I said, that's what I'm going to do.
Awesome. That is so
That's
cool.
what I did. I applied early decision. A few weeks later, I sent in the application with my dad's signature on it, not realizing that when I told my mom at dinner that night that I had applied early decision and that's where I was going to go to school and I wasn't going to apply anywhere else, that she would freak out a little bit.
Yeah, right. As moms do.
But I knew what I wanted to do at that point, and so there was no looking back for me.
That is very cool. Well, you know, we have a very long history of poly reps in the family.
Yeah.
So that is very cool to hear. And what a testament. And in fact, the person who runs poly reps right now is a graduate of our program. So that works
awesome.
Out. That works out pretty well. So once you got here, I've been asking this of everyone. I want to start big, and with what was your most memorable experience from Cal Poly?
You know, I've been racking my brain for that one, Brian. Like, I just can't come up with one. And yeah. You know, I'm going to be that nerdy person. Like, I just loved everything that I was studying. I loved everything I was doing. I loved the teachers I was working with. You know, to this day, I still keep in touch with a number of them. I got to. Yeah, for me, it was just that ultimate experience of getting to learn myself, getting to learn things that I really enjoyed, getting somewhat direction on what I wanted to do with my life and having my world open up to something that was completely new and foreign to me. When you end up in the right place at the right time, like, just magic happens. And, you know, being a rec admin major, which is what we were called at the time, you know, it was just really fabulous. But as I say all of that, you know, one of the really cool things that I love that we did is, we founded RoFi Lambda, and I was the founding president of RoFi. So that was actually really cool to be a part of something from the ground up and see where it started. And now when I go back and for the advisory policy meetings or advisory council meetings, to see how far RoFi's come is really, really cool.
Very awesome. Well, I don't know if you noticed, I was writing down, what a profound quote. You said you were struggling with coming up exactly what to say there, but you just said, when you end up in the right place at the right time, magic happens. I just love that. I don't know if you got that from Disney or who you got that from, but that is a pretty amazing quote. I hope you don't mind me. I think I'm going to use it to advertise this podcast when it comes time to publish. So,
awesome.
so thank you so much for that. Elissa, I bet here at Cal Poly, I bet you didn't get involved in anything, did you, other than RoFi Lambda? It was just RoFi Lambda, right? No. What can you tell us? What other things you got involved in, and what advice you would have for current students?
Sure. You know, I went to Catholic all girls school, so when I got to Cal Poly, the last thing I wanted to do was join a sorority, so I didn't. My parents are very wise people, as I share all this information, but one of the things that they had also said is, from the day I started earning a paycheck at 14 at the pool, I had to save 50% of everything that I earned, and their reasoning was they did not want me to work my first year of college. So it really gave me the opportunity to get to know people, to get my feelings away around campus. But I couldn't not work. It was just
working on the side.
So I quickly found myself working at the rec center. I was one of the supervisors for the club sport teams, which was awesome. I had a ton of fun with that. I found myself as an RA my second year at Cal Poly, which was a really hard, amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how I survived that year. I also was involved at the time, RAM Club, Recreation Administration Majors. Although the university often seemed to think it was Recreation Administration Management. They kept renaming our club all the time. RoFi came out of some of the work that I did there. I was involved in the community services fraternity, the academic fraternity, which I'm a bad member and can't remember what Greek letters those were. What else? I'm sure I did some other things.
Sure. Well, how about the ending there? So, you know, we, as everyone knows, we have an internship to cap off your college career. Where did you go on your internship?
My formal internship I did with the city of San Luis Obispo in their recreation department, overseeing teen programs, and I think I had a big event or something I was in charge of as well. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, I had a really cool internship, though, in San Antonio. I mentioned my parents had moved out there. Mm-hmm. And it didn't get to count for credit because it was before I had finished all my classes, but I got to work for the San Antonio Sports Foundation and an international track and field event, which was fantastic.
Oh, I bet. So tell me how you got, you know, you have a long career, and we're going to get into your career in municipal recreation that has led you, you know, to municipal administration and leadership now. But how did you initially get interested or involved in municipal recreation?
From working at the pool and swimming. You know, I was on swim team. I started when I think I was 7 or so. I saw the junior lifeguards practicing, you know, and learning all of their stuff while I was at swim practice, and, you know, really wanted to get involved in that. You know, I don't necessarily see myself as being a very forward, innovative person, but, you know, I look back on my life and there's many times where, you know, an opportunity didn't exist and I went and made it for myself. And that was, you know, probably one of the first ones. I remember going up to the pool manager at the time and my little, you know, little blonde haired, you know, self saying, you know, I know there's no junior lifeguard program, but could I still be a junior lifeguard anyways?
I love that.
Because by the time I was old enough, they had pulled the program. And so I did. And so I started working at the pool, being paid when I was 7. I was a lifeguard, cashier, swim instructor, swim coach. But I really didn't think that was what I was going to do, even though I went into the recreation, you know, field and for education, I didn't necessarily think I was going back into municipal recreation.
Right.
In college, when people asked me what I wanted to do, I told them I wanted to plan the Super Bowl. You know, special events and sports management kind of put in together.
Right.
And I tell people now, I still might. It's just going to be from a different angle.
There you go. Exactly. Very cool. So, hey, you know, when I scan your career and I look at all the different jobs, you know, from recreation coordinator to recreation supervisor, deputy director of community and personnel services, director of community and personnel services, director of human resources, assistant city manager, and now deputy city manager. You know, it's really an amazing arc that you've taken, and a really impressive arc. And I want to ask you, if you don't mind, to just reflect on that. And can you give us some perspective on what you've learned along the way, and maybe your proudest achievement?
Yeah. You know, what I've learned along the way is to, you know, to go with the flow and to look for those opportunities that might not actually exist that you can make exist. I recently heard a really great quote, and it really does define a lot of probably how I've pursued things in life. And it was, achieve those things that are achievable, but not believable. You know, those things that you can achieve, but when you tell people, they look at you and they're like, yeah, you're not going to be able to do that. And right. Then you do. You know, and so there's been a lot of that. You know, I was very focused, obviously, in recreation, and I had a city manager that was really struggling with the administrative side of our organization at the time. There essentially was no HR, and he came to us and said, you know, I know you guys can learn this. I know you can pick it up. I know you can run with it. Like, will you take it on? Will you trust me that I know you can do this? And said yes. You know, so it's being open to those weird opportunities that either somebody else can see for you or that you can see that are there, and just, you know, just pushing forward, trying it. It, you know, being open to failure and knowing that that's not the end of the world, and that you're going to learn from whatever might not have worked out perfectly and turn it into something even greater.
Right.
You know, I'm actually doing that again right now. I'm working for that same boss in a very different capacity. There was a 12-year break where I didn't work for him. And just recently he came to me and said, hey, can you take on our planning and urban design department? You know, they're down 50% of their staff. There's no senior leadership there and they need some help. Uh-huh. I'm like, I know nothing about planning and urban design.
Right.
And but you know about leadership. So, you know, it's just being open to those opportunities and open to learning and growing. And you know, I'm one of those people that I have to be learning, I have to be growing, otherwise I'm bored and miserable. So, and finding mentors and people that are going to keep pushing you to do that, you know, having that support system.
Right, right. So I want to talk about your position, right? I don't think very many, obviously the career arc in municipal recreation usually ends with director of parks and recreation, right? I mean, that's kind of the CEO position, if you will, when you start out in recreation. But I love that you were reflecting there about how you were named director of human resources. And I think that kind of, if I'm not mistaken, I think that is a hint as to how you got the current position that you're in as deputy city manager. So can you reflect on that? And can you reflect on maybe the shifts that we're seeing in municipalities where of wearing multiple hats and that sort of thing? And if you don't mind, I would love like a wider reflection on whether you've seen growth and evolution in cities around California in recognizing how critical recreation is. and what a primary element it is to a city rather than a secondary or tertiary.
Right. Absolutely. There's so much in there, so much to unpack.
I know. Sorry.
No, it's okay. You know, one of the things that I've been reflecting on just lately is, you know, experience industry management, right?
Right.
And I will fully admit that, you know, I had to be convinced that experience industry management was a good shift into, yeah, you know, the next.
Yeah, we all did.
But in reflecting about it and what I do today, I mean, my job is literally all about people's experiences. Yeah. And except for, and all of them, in exactly what they do and where they live, what are the streets that they look like or feel like when they're driving on them? How many stoplights are they sitting at? Is there, you know, water coming to their faucets? Mm-hmm. You know, in addition to, are there, you know, good programs and learning opportunities at the library? You know, we oversee an animal shelter. You know, what role do pets play in people's experiences in their lives? You know, police and fire, you know. When you talk about experience industry management and local government, they are pretty much synonymous with, yeah, each other. Yeah. And, you know, really gone are the days where cities and governments just get to go along and do what they do and keep their heads down and under the radar. That's not the world that we live and work in anymore. And frankly, it's not the world that I would want to live and work in.
Nope.
I went back to school and got my master's in business, not in recreation, not in public administration, which a lot of people would have thought, because public administration, all of the other programs I looked at, nobody else had a marketing type degree or emphasis. And one of the things that I felt that for a long time government has missed out on is that marketing. And really when you talk about like the four P's of marketing and that whole process of listening to other people and designing your service or product based off of what you're hearing, being able to deliver that effectively and in the right ways, you know, and a lot of what I do today is really based off of that. One of the areas I directly oversee is community affairs and just how important it is to be listening to our communities and finding out what they need. Mm-hmm. Finding out how we can be delivering those services. How do we be transparent and let people know and understand why we're making the decisions that we're making, whether or not we're not going to get everybody to agree and like everything that we are doing, but you know, if they can follow our path of logic and understand at least why we're doing it, that goes a long, long way. Okay. And I fear that I've totally veered off the path of the original question.
No, that was perfect, Elissa. That absolutely was perfect. And thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. And thanks also for the reflection on experience industry. You know, it was obviously a very it was a very, we went through a painstaking thing, and but what we kept coming back to is that's ultimately what unites us all. You know, we're underneath this. Well, one, we need an umbrella, right? We need an umbrella term to try and bring us all together from that standpoint. But then when we got deeper into it, we're like, wow, these experiences and where we're headed as a field and as an industry, that can unite us. And we've gotten such a great response from all of our wonderful partners in municipal recreation. You know, CPRS has been amazing in supporting this move that we've done. And so thank you so much for that reflection.
If I could go back real quick, you would also how are we viewing municipal recreation now? Yeah. And it actually ties a lot into that experience industry management side of things. Traditionally, I think you would see a lot of planning, urban design, or municipal finance people rising to the ranks of city management. I think today you see a lot more people that have those people skills, which is what we are born and bred in and experience in city management, because it is about the people, it is about the connection, it is about creating community. Those cities that are truly successful, that's what they're focusing on. They're not trying to focus on the dollars and the cents. They're focusing on how they build a strong community, and that is the heart and core of, you know, what my education has been about, and how I think it has propelled me to this point. So, you know, maybe we change that paradigm that, you know, the ultimate goal for, you know, EIM or a recreation major isn't, you know, recreation director, or community services director. It is, you know, deputy city manager, because we can use a lot of people that have fun and know how to smile and
right. Know how to talk to people. Yeah, exactly. Well, so, you know, I think that's a good segue, Elissa, to this last question. We, as you know, we want to continue to encourage our students to get involved. A lot of us have such deep connections to our communities, and we believe so much in community and in municipal recreation. So what advice would you have to a current student, a prospective student, or a young professional interested in getting into this area?
Well, for anybody that's interested in, you know, having that service and being a part of a community, this is a tremendous, awesome, you know, field to go down. For anybody that's looking to never, ever be bored, always wants to be on their toes and tackling a new challenge, you know, every week, every month, every year, really, really great path to go down.
Yep.
And somebody that just really enjoys working with awesome people. Again, I know for my organization now and the organizations that I've worked in the past, you know, we really work on hiring for fit, and we're really looking for those people that round out our team, not necessarily everybody that has the exact A, B, and C, you know, task. We can teach people how to do tasks, but we can't necessarily bring in that right personality and that right spirit. You know, we call it hungry, humble, and smart, and we did not coin that term at all, but
I like it all the same.
I would love, you know, I have loved what I've done. I am excited about what I get to do in the future, and I would love to see more Cal Poly students down here working with us, or I guess it could be up north too.
Yeah, of course.
Working in this field.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been really great talking to you. It's been really great getting to know you over the years, and I appreciate you coming on. I really enjoy getting to know more about you. So thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Awesome.